A Place for Everyone. If you haven't been with us over the last couple weeks, that's the series we're in. It's called A Place for Everyone. And what we're talking about here is how really God has carved out a place for you and for me to belong. It's really a series about belonging to God. If you have a relationship with Jesus, the Bible says that we are adopted into his family. And also, there's two ways you get into a family. You're either adopted into it or you're born into it. And God uses both illustrations to talk about what God wants to do for us. He wants to adopt us as his children, and he wants us to be born again in a spiritual kind of way through a relationship with Jesus. So we can belong to him, but we're also talking about what it means to belong to one another through the church. And so the reason we're talking about this, the reason we're doing this series is because when it comes to the invitation to follow God, when it comes to the opportunity to be part of the church of Jesus Christ, where we're connected together and we feel this sense of belonging and purpose, and when it comes to what God is calling us to do, the mission God is calling us to be part of, it's easy to think that God's invitation is for somebody else. I don't know if you're like this, but I tend to be like this sometimes. It kind of reminds me of a great story in the Bible of a man named Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus. It comes from Luke chapter 19. You don't have to turn there. I'll just tell it to you, but you can mark that if you want to. But a man named Zacchaeus. And basically, Jesus is riding through Jericho, and there's this large crowd that's gathered around in this town, real town. God works in real time and real space. Jericho, you can go there today. So, but Jesus rides through Jericho, and there's a large crowd that's gathered around to see Jesus. And we know if you grew up in church, you may have sung the song, Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. If you don't know what I'm talking about, it's okay, no big deal. But he was a short guy. Maybe he was like 5'8", like me. But he had a tough time with this large crowd seeing over top of everybody. And Jesus looked like a really important person. Everybody wanted to get a glimpse of who this Jesus was that was healing and teaching. And everybody wanted to be around Jesus. And so Zacchaeus did the only thing he could do. He was just one person in the crowd. And so he climbed up in a tree. As the song says, he climbed up in a sycamore tree. He climbed up in a tree because he wanted to get a better view of this Jesus that everybody wanted to see. And in the middle of this large crowd, it's interesting that Zacchaeus saw himself as just another person in the crowd. He thought he was going to be a spectator, right? He went and he was, kind of getting a glimpse of Jesus. But Jesus saw Zacchaeus very different than the way Zacchaeus saw himself. And so in the middle of that huge crowd, Jesus called out to Zacchaeus at the top of the tree by name and said, Zacchaeus, come down, because I want to come to your house today. He wanted to have a meal at his house. He wanted to stay at his house. And so Jesus was really inviting Zacchaeus to come down from the comfortable heights that he was at, to come down from that, from being meshed into the crowd that he was so comfortable in, to leave that place, because Jesus wanted to spend time with him. And so when it comes to our faith, and when it comes to the church, and when it comes to the mission that God calls you and me to be part of, it's easy to hear the mission that God calls people to and think the mission is for somebody else. To think it's for other people that are in the crowd, but maybe not for me, not for you. But Jesus points out to you in the middle of the comfortable place, in the comfortable crowd we may be sitting in, and Jesus is saying, no. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you. It's personal. When Jesus goes to the cross, you've probably either seen the movie or read about it. You've seen crosses everywhere. But the thing that's so interesting, it's easy to see what Jesus did on the cross in the same way. It's easy to look at that and say, well, Jesus died for the sins of the world, but exclude yourself. But the cool thing about when Jesus goes to the cross, he went to the cross thinking of you. He died for the sins of the world, but he went thinking of each of us individually. Jesus did it for you, because all of us matter. All of us matter this much that he was willing to stretch out in cruciform love, saying, I love you this much that I'm willing to take you where only I can take you, to the Father in heaven through a relationship with Jesus, and through that relationship to belong through the church. And if you're a follower of Jesus, you are made specifically also to be part of God's mission. So in other words, God didn't create you to just hang around and belong. See, a lot of times we do that in the church. We belong, and that's a good thing. We hang around and belong. But God made you for a mission. Another way to say that is God saved you for something. God saved you for something. I remember when I was later on in high school, I remember I felt like I had gotten to a point in my relationship with Christ where I felt like I couldn't grow anymore. Now, that wasn't an arrogant thing. I really felt like me and Jesus are one. And I kind of got a little bit, not depressed, but a little bit like, is this it? Is this all? Just knowing Christ? Now, that's a big deal, right? That's a big deal. But I remember thinking, Jesus, why don't you just take me to heaven now? Like, why do I have to deal with the suffering and the death and the stuff that we have to deal with all the time, the struggles? Why on earth do we have, maybe you've thought the same thing. Why on earth, if you have a relationship with Jesus, why don't you just take me? I mean, death kind of sounds like a painful thing, but maybe like God could just take like a vacuum and, you know, shoot us up there. And like, we'd be done. We wouldn't have to worry about the suffering and the death and all the stuff that we deal with going to work and dealing with our bosses, whatever it may be. We don't have to deal with that stuff. But Jesus leaves you and me here. This is what I discovered, and it made me come alive. Jesus leaves me and you here because we got a mission. If you have a relationship with Jesus, Jesus leaves you here because you have a mission. And we don't get to decide the mission. We don't really have to debate the mission. In fact, we don't even really get to choose it. The mission is something that Jesus gives to us. It's his mission. He's already decided it. And that mission that every Christian is a part of is this: to take the message of Christ, to take the love of Christ to the world. To take the message of Christ and the love of Christ to the world. In other words, to take what you experience in here out there. And one of the cool things that's happening this week, and the reason you may be wondering why are we so excited about a whole lot of kids coming to a camp, it's one of the ways that we have an opportunity to take the message that's in here out there. Because about 90% of the kids that are coming and the families that are coming to the camp are not connected to the church. And that's a cool opportunity to be the hands and feet of Christ. Some of them may have a relationship with Christ, but some may not. And our mission as a church is to make disciples, to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And what a cool opportunity. In fact, in John chapter 17, verse 18, Jesus is talking to the Father. And he says to the Father this. He says, "As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." So just as Jesus was sent, now we don't have to die on the cross. There's some things that only Jesus can do. But as Jesus was sent in the world to make an impact in the people, in the whole world, God has sent us into the world to be his hands and feet. So even though Jesus is now sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in heaven, he sends the Holy Spirit to be with us. And he says, now I'm sending you to carry out the work that I started. Go and share the message. In fact, John chapter 20 says a very similar thing. John chapter 20, verse 21, Jesus is talking to the disciples and talking to us, and he says this, "Peace be with you." In other words, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. I'm with you. And then he says, "As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." Notice the word sending. See, God's in the sending business. And the thing I love about when God sends us to do something is he promises his presence. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. His presence is with us as we go. And so this calling isn't just for some Christians. And I also have to let you know, one of the things that happens so many times in churches is you have a pastor and everybody thinks, well, he's the one we're paying to do the Great Commission, to share the good news. It's not just for pastors. In fact, Christianity started and has always been a lay movement, meaning not clergy. Now, we're all partners in this, but we all are part of the mission. And so we're not created to just remain as part of the crowd. God wants us to participate in what he's doing in the world. And so when you come into the family of God, you inherit the family business. I love that. Because the cool thing with that is whatever purposes we might have been living before we come to know Christ, when Christ comes into your life and you start discovering your God-given purpose is to share the good news, and no matter where you are, then whether you're a preacher like me or whether you're a teacher, you're to share the good news by the way you live. Or whether you're a police officer, you're to share the good news no matter where you are. So no matter what you do, we all have an opportunity where we are in our sphere of influence to share the good news. That's the mission. And so the thing that we have to do is share that with others. And I'll share with you a little bit about how to do that in just a minute. When I graduated from high school, we had a graduate recognition Sunday, kind of like what we did a couple weeks ago for some of our graduates here at the Fountain. And I don't remember what happened, but I remember the gift that was given to me. Because it was a gift that, it was basically a framed picture of the cross that stood at the very front of the sanctuary where I grew up. It's a beautiful cross, red and blue, and it looked awesome. And it was one of those things where when you saw the cross, I had so many encounters with Jesus at that church and through that ministry. And so when I saw that, it was just like replaying, God, wow, what you did to me when I was in seventh grade. And then what you did to me when I was in 11th and 12th. And then when I was on staff at that church, God, what you did to me. And so it just always reminded me of, wow, God's grace continues and has always been in my life and has always been in your life. But at the bottom of the picture, it has that very verse, John 20:21, and it says this, as the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. And so when I went to college, I put that on my desk, and I hardly had anything on my desk, but I was trying to be professional, you know, like I've got a desk now, this is cool. And so I put like, you know, business like stuff on there, but I put the picture there. And I would walk by it from time to time and would sometimes catch myself realizing that, whoa, I'm not just a normal college student. I'm not just a person that lives without purpose. God's given me a purpose. I've been commissioned and I've been sent to always remind me, and really as a reminder to you, that I'm sent and you're sent. We're all sent to share God's message. And the thing we have to remember, and really this series, the reason we're talking about sharing the good news in the context of this message, of how we belong as part of the church, is because sharing God's message is a shared effort together as a church. It's not just me and it's not just you. It's all of us. We depend on each other to share the good news of Jesus. And so that's why this message is called Me to We. Me to We. In fact, it's easy to just stay in the crowd as a me and decide to not be part of God's mission, thinking that, you know, maybe someone else will be part of it. Maybe somebody else will step up and fill the gaps where I'm lacking. And God does. But it's our mission together. It's your mission. And I don't want you to miss that. It's tempting to come to church and to think or evaluate church things like a consumer. And I say that not to put condemnation on, but sometimes we come to church like a consumer. A consumer, by definition, a consumer is a person who shops for goods or services for personal use. And so a consumer comes shopping for certain things or sitting in the crowd to consume spiritual goods. And we all start out like this. In fact, I'm so glad that people here at the Fountain feel comfortable to come no matter where they are in their faith. Maybe even not even having faith can come and be part of what God is doing here. But the thing is, God doesn't want us to stay there. See, a consumer simply looks at what's best for me, what's helpful for me, what's pleasant to me. But God invites you and me to be part of something through the church that's so much more. In fact, I'm going to show you a video in just a second. And I think this video is going to help you to understand, give you a different picture of your role, your shared role, our shared role within God's mission. So check it out. From me to we, from me to we. I don't know about you, but I love that music at the beginning. And there's nothing wrong with being on a cruise ship. But there's a big difference in being a cruise ship and a battleship. There's a big difference. In fact, cruise ships, I don't know, I haven't been on one, but I've seen them and they look awesome. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, from the moment you get on board, it's all about you. It's awesome. I mean, it's, you know, everybody is just waiting on you. They're wanting to know, how can your trip be? Can it be, you know, how can I make it more pleasant? You know, you have all the food you can eat. You have the best entertainment at your fingertips, everything that you could want. In fact, each person on a cruise has their own individual purposes. If you think about it, each family has their own individual purposes. In fact, usually you want to stay away from other families, because if too many people are on the boat then and it gets too crowded, then it messes up your entertainment, right? It starts stepping on your toes. And so if there's too many people in line for the slide, it messes up the entertainment you want to have. Or if there's too many people around you at the dining hall, you have to wait. Cruises are awesome, but it has a little bit different purpose. On a cruise ship, it's all about me and my needs. But the problem is, the church was never supposed to be a cruise ship. The church is really more like a battleship. The church is a battleship. In fact, the fountain is a battleship. See, since it's a battleship, it means that the boat or the church doesn't belong to me. And it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Jesus. And I may have the title of planting this church and starting this church, but the church doesn't belong to me. It's Jesus' church. And so it drastically changes the way we operate and the way we do things, because it doesn't belong to us. We're part of it, but it's Jesus's. And Jesus designed the church to be united together for a single purpose, to be on a rescue mission, to reach people in the world for Christ, to bring everyone into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus gives it to us like this in what's called the Great Commission. And it says this: therefore, go and make disciples. If you have your Bibles, or if you're looking at that, make disciples is the main thing. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. See, our mission is to help new people to get on the boat with God, and to help all those who are already on the boat to grow as God's crew member. All of us into a growing relationship with Jesus Christ. And as we go, as we're making disciples, Jesus promises his presence. The thing I love about that is, you know, one of the things that's so cool is that when God calls you to something, God's usually already invested in it. In fact, God has more invested in your ministry and in the people in your sphere of influence than you do. God has more invested in your ministry and in the people in your sphere of influence than you do, which is so cool, because it's a reminder that God is already at work in the heart and life of every single person, even before we talk to anybody, even before we show them who Jesus is. God's working in their life. And so our job, our role, is to simply show up and pay attention for how God wants to use us. And you'll be surprised that sometimes, by the way you live, people will start seeing Jesus in you and say, hey, why do you live like that? And what a cool opportunity God gives you to say, hey, you know, God's changed my life. Here's what it's looked like. And maybe he can do the same thing for you. And so a battleship means that each of us have to move in our mindset from being a me church, from being about me, who just sits on the sideline and in the crowd with my own personal purpose, to move to becoming a we church, about God and us. Because a we church means where you and I have to take personal ownership in the mission of our great commander that we sang about. We take ownership in what God wants to do in the kingdom, but also here at the fountain. And that's what I want to encourage you to do. One of the things that's so cool that I love this as a pastor. When we first started the church, everybody called it your church. Everybody said, oh, I love your church. And I would say, oh, they're not invested yet. This isn't their church yet. But one of the cool things that I love is when a pronoun shifts, when people start talking about the church as not my church or not somebody else's church or what's going on with you, and when people start saying, I love my church. And so I want to encourage you and give permission. This is not my church. This is God's church. But I want to encourage you to take ownership, to grab the bull by the horns and say, this is my church. You don't have to if this isn't your church. But I want to encourage you and I want to invite you. You have permission. This is your church. This is God's church, but God wants you to be part of it. So I want to invite you to take ownership of that and the mission where God's leading us. Because it's no longer about my personal desires or your personal desires. It's how we together can further the mission of our great commander, Jesus. How we can further the mission and share the message. And the cool thing is, as we grow closer to God, our desires, your personal mission will start to match God's mission. Because as you grow closer to God, what you care about, you start caring about things that your Heavenly Father cares about. And that's about people, helping people to come into a relationship and to grow through Jesus. And in order to fulfill God's mission together as a church, it means we have to be all hands on deck. All of us as a church, all hands on deck, batten down the hatches, full speed ahead, together. Everybody doing their role. Everybody participating and sharing the good news of Jesus and all the different ways that God's created you to do that in your sphere of influence and the ways God has given you and opens up. That God wants us all to be part of that, doing it together. So that when our great commander, Jesus, looks at us and looks at our church, he says with a smile, "Now that's my church. I want to be a part of a church like that," that Jesus says, "That's my church." But it takes all of us together, coming together and saying, "I'm part of this. I'm a significant part of what God is doing." That's probably why the Apostle Paul realized that this isn't a, sharing the good news of Jesus isn't a one person deal. And said, in fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, he said this, "I planted the seed," because he planted the church, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but it was God who made it grow." So he's showing that a whole lot of people had to do with helping to share the good news of the gospel for the Corinthians. See, it's a shared mission, and God needs all Christians to be part of that mission together. And you know what happens when you jump into being even a small part of the mission that what God's doing? As you discover a purpose that's so much bigger than you. People who have fought in the military together have this bond that's so much stronger than almost anywhere else. Josh can speak to that. Josh has fought in the military before. But one of the things that you find, people who have maybe 50 years ago, 40 years ago, who have fought in some kind of battle together, they can come together after not seeing each other, and they have this camaraderie. They can look at one another and say, "We did this together. We are part of this. We were a team." And that's what God invites all of us to be part of in sharing the good news about Jesus. And so sharing the message is the mission. That's the bottom line today. Sharing the message is the mission. The church word for what I'm talking about is evangelism. Now, in the church, it's kind of one of those, like, dirty words sometimes. Like, we don't like evangelism because sometimes we think we have to, like, go knock on people's doors or pass out tracts, and that's not what it means. Evangelism literally means sharing the good news. Sharing the good news. Euangelion, sharing the good news. And so that's what God asks us to do. Once you've got the good news, once you've experienced Jesus, pass them on to others. It's because it's not, and the motivation isn't to, it's not that God makes us do this. It's because we love people, and we want people to have what Jesus has done in us. I want you to imagine for a second, let's say that you have the cure. You have the cure for AIDS or for cancer in your hand. You've got it. You know what it is. People have been looking for it for a long time, but you've got the cure for AIDS or for cancer. And I want you to imagine you deciding, you have that in your hands, but you decide to not share that with anybody. I mean, that would be criminal. That would be awful if you didn't share what everybody was looking for, what everybody was searching for. See, you would do anything if you had that, if you found the cure to that, you would do anything you could to share that with everyone you could. And it's the same thing about Jesus. Because the reality is Jesus sees people, as a country song, who are looking for love in all the wrong places. He sees people who are looking for a different kind of life. Great people, good people, but are looking for the kind of life Jesus came to bring. Good people who are looking for a hope that they can cling to that's bigger than their current reality. Looking for a different kind of purpose that's bigger than the sole purpose they're living. And Jesus says that for any of us who have stepped over the line to put our faith in Christ, we've got the hope of Christ in our hands. And so why would we not pass that on to other people and share that with everybody we could? Because the world is looking for it. So here's how you can do it. Here's some practical stuff. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus says this, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Acts 1:8. "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Jesus is saying, start where you are. Start where you are, but don't stop there. Start where you are, but don't stop there. Like, keep expanding that circle further and further and further so that everybody can know about Jesus. Keep passing it on. One of the things I love, one of the things that's so cool is social media. It's such a great tool today. What a great way to share things. The thing that I love is when somebody starts sharing things, even from our Fountain page, we get a report of like how many people it's reached. And sometimes it's in like tens of thousands of people that have been reached just because people share something. And what a cool thing, that a resource that we have to proclaim the good news. So if you haven't liked our page or anything like that, that's one of the great ways to share the good news in a pretty easy way. But don't start there. Keep expanding that further and further and further. And so you might outline Acts 1:8 like this. This is kind of how I do it. You will be my witnesses in this community. In other words, in Johns Creek, Cumming, and Suwannee. You'll be my witnesses there. And then you'll be my witnesses in North Georgia. And then in the United States. And then to the ends of the world. That's what Jesus is saying there. I want you to be my witnesses. Not just in one spot, but everywhere. Everywhere you go. And so if you've ever watched the news before, you'll usually notice that they'll interview a witness. And a witness is simply someone who's experienced an event and is sharing with somebody about the event. And that's all it means to be a witness for Christ. It means that you've experienced Jesus do something in you. Jesus has done something in your life, and you're just being a witness and sharing that with other people. You know, this past week I was at annual conference, which is what where all the Methodist pastors, thousands of people, Methodist pastors and church members go to Athens. And I call it the Athens eating tour because it's pretty great restaurants. But we go and we have conferences and we vote on things and we pray together and we talk about what God's doing, not just at the Fountain, but in the North Georgia Conference in the United States and through the world, through our efforts together as a church. And it's really, really cool to see that. But it got me thinking, as we were together with all these Methodists around, it got me thinking about the great passion the early Methodists had for people to know Christ, to reach people for Christ. In fact, I went to a seminary called Asbury Seminary, and it's named after a man named Francis Asbury, who was one of the first bishops of the Methodist Church. John Wesley, the founder of the Methodist Church, sent Asbury to America to be a missionary, from England to be a missionary to America. And there was hardly anybody living in America then. The message had not gotten over to America very much then. But Asbury was so convinced that he wanted everybody to know about Jesus that he rode 6,000 miles on horseback every single year on places that weren't even roads, up mountains, sleeping sometimes on the dirt and drinking from streams, doing everything that he could so that everybody could hear the good news about Jesus. And at the beginning of his ministry, there were about 300 Methodists in the colonies. 300 Methodists in the colonies, that's it. And by the end of his ministry and through the efforts of all the Methodists who rode around on horseback everywhere, there was about 250,000 new people who had been reached with the good news for Christ. And you know, they used to say in England, back in England, that the Church of England had the fireplace, but the Methodists brought the fire. And it got me thinking, what would it look like today if we had that same passion? What would it look like today if we, in this community, had that same passion for Jesus? You can't pass something on unless you've got it yourself. What if we pursue Jesus so much and we're so passionate about who Jesus is that we came so alive that people said, now they've got the fire. What would our community look like if we shared the good news like that? What would this world look like if we shared the good news like that? I think it'd be changed. And so we don't have to do a whole lot to share the good news. The best way to be a witness for Christ is to simply tell what God's doing in your life. What God's doing in your life. And so I've got some action steps for you today. As we're talking about the mission is to share the message. Share some action steps. I want you to encourage you to step into. The first one is to make the mission personal. Make the mission personal. Make God's mission personal for you. Because here's the thing. If it remains just something for everybody else, we won't be part of it. God wants to use you in the world. So here's what I want you to do. Every day this week, this is a practical step. Every day this week, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is Jesus doing in my life today? What's Jesus doing in my life today? Ask yourself that question. Not what did Jesus do 10 years ago? What did Jesus do 15 years ago? What did Jesus do a few months ago? What's Jesus doing in me today? And you'll start to realize as you start asking yourself this question, it's kind of weird at first because you're like, I don't know, I don't think he's doing anything. But you start opening your eyes and being tuned in to what God is really doing, because God is alive and he's working in your life right now. And our job is to show up and pay attention for what God is doing. So ask yourself this week, first thing is, what is Jesus doing in my life? The second thing, action step, is I want to encourage you to take that step to share that with somebody. Share that with somebody. What's Jesus doing in my life? And share it with somebody. And so it may start out something like this. You know what God is showing me right now? And you can tell them, like, here's what God's showing me, or here's what God's doing with me right now. And you can just talk about it. Or if there's somebody that you're like, oh, that would really offend somebody, you can say, you know what's so cool what happened to me the other day? And you can tell them, like, you wouldn't believe what happened. I had car trouble, and this happened, and this happened, and this happened. And you know, I really look back, and I think that God was really watching out for me. You know, that's just a simple way to say, hey, here's what Jesus is doing in me, and maybe he can do the same thing in you. So the first thing is, what's Jesus doing in my life today? And then share that message with somebody. Or maybe for some of you in here, your next step is to simply say, I want Jesus to change my life. You know, I want what you're talking about. I want Jesus to change my life. And so maybe the next step for you is to step across the line of faith and to say yes to Jesus, to a saving faith, to have that relationship so you can be invited to this mission that Christians are all part of. But I want to invite you to take some kind of step today. Take some step. Take that step out of the crowd and toward the mission of God. Let's pray together. God, we thank you so much for your mercy and for your love. God, we thank you for your grace that's so powerful, that covers us and washes away our sins. Jesus, I thank you that you died on the cross, but you also rose from the dead. You didn't stay dead. You're alive. You're alive and working our lives today. And so, Jesus, I pray that you help us to put our faith today even more in you. Whether we're stepping across the line for the first time, or whether, God, we're being called to do something in a new way that we maybe have not leaned into before, help us to put more faith in you than we had when we stepped in. And help us tomorrow to have more faith than today. God, I pray that for every single one of us, you would start allowing us to see what you're doing in our lives. And God, be so convinced and so passionate to share that with others, because the world needs to know. The world needs to hear about it. God, we're all part of this mission. We all share it. So God, I pray that you would help us to take ownership. And to know when you call us to something that you promise your presence, that we're not alone, that you're ahead of us, you're behind us, you're all around us. And if we're a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit is inside of us. The God of the universe, the power and the presence lives inside of us. And so Holy Spirit, come alive in us. When we're weak, make us strong. When we feel like we don't have what it takes, show us that you have what it takes. And God, if for any of us who haven't stepped across the line, we pray that we would be able to ask today, in as much as we can, that we would be able to say, Jesus, I do believe. Today's the day I believe. I want to put my faith and my trust in you. I want you to wash away my sins. And today I want to join the family of God. And God, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.